I want to say welcome to our services tonight, Grace Baptist Church. Certainly good to see Brother Doug here, having been through it, having COVID and everything, but the Lord was seeing fit to bring him through it. Good to see him. Let's all get a songbook, turn over to number 23. Number 23, Near the Cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the
Paul that alluded to something that he said, my only glory will be in the cross. I'd have to see where that is, but I think the Apostle Paul said something about that to this degree. All right, let's turn over several pages to number 328.
Bread by Galilee.
that's what we're here for on Wednesday evening here, to hear our pastor break the bread of life so that we may know more about our Lord. Let it born.
Well, it is good to be here tonight. It's good to see each one of you. It's especially good to see Brother Doug back with us. Thank the Lord for his healing touch on him, and pray that it continue to give strength to his body. Continue to pray for his wife. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel tonight. Book of Ezekiel in the 13th chapter. And we'll be looking at verse 12 this evening. Last week we had seen about the wall and the fact that storm was to come. This week we look at verse 12. It says, "Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it?" We've titled this one, Rejected. Rejected. The people will reject them. When the wall has fallen and Jerusalem is taken, shall it not be said unto you? Shall it not be said unto you? That is to the false prophets. That's who they're speaking to. This chapter, remember, is talking to the false prophets and the false prophetesses. And it's spoken, will be spoken by the people. By the people they deceived, and or by the righteous. He said, "Will not men laugh the false prophets to scorn?" That's basically what it says here. Will not men, these men, laugh the false prophets to scorn, saying, "Where is the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it?" Where is the daubing? And can't you just hear it right now? A wall had been built, and we'll get into it a little more, but it had been built by their sin, their idolatries. A wall had been built, and the false prophets come along, and they daubed it with untempered mortar, as we looked at last week. And the storm is going to come, and a great flooding, a great storm, hailstones, and wind. And the wall is going to fall. And when it has fallen, they're going to say, "Where is the daubing wherewith you've daubed it?" In other words, in mockery. Where's your whitewash? Where's that whitewash? All the promises, the false prophecies, all the flattering prophecies that you prophesied to us. You said this thing was going to be all over in a couple of years. You said that the king of Babylon was going to fall. The people were going to be restored back to the land, and it was going to be as it was in the days of prosperity. What's happened? You spoke smooth things unto us. You've tickled our ears with your words and your flattering prophecies. Listen. What he's telling us here in this chapter and in this verse is when the day of judgment comes, when God brings his judgment upon them. And that's what that is the judgment of God upon these false prophets, upon that false prophecies and the lies, the deceit which they have built. It's going to all come tumbling down. The wall of Jerusalem will come down. Jerusalem will be taken. Judah will be taken and destroyed. And these false prophets were saying, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But when that day comes, there will be men in the day of God's wrath, in the day of God's judgment, there will be men that shall laugh at them. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms in chapter 52. This psalm is talking about the righteous, not so much those who had been deceived by them, but definitely the righteous shall laugh. Psalm 52, and look with me here at verse 6. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. Isn't that what we said a few weeks ago that these false prophets were doing? They were prophesying falsely. They were speaking lies. They were speaking smooth things. Why? For the money, for the wealth that it would bring their way. The people would look up. They were good Pharisees, right? They liked the people. Remember, we talked about false prophets of our day. Why are they there? What are they doing? It's a means to pad their pockets, to become rich and famous. Look at these names that are out there. And they're not speaking, thus saith the Lord. God didn't send them. God didn't speak to them. How do we know? Because they don't speak his words. Turn with me to the 58th chapter. The 58th chapter of Psalms. Verses 10 and 11. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. You see that? The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. When he sees God taking out vengeance. And listen, by the way, that's where it belongs. It's not up to me to get vengeance. It's not up to you to get vengeance. Vengeance belongeth unto God. He will repent. And his judgment is just. It's right. It's true. You see, ours might not be right. Probably won't be right. But his is. So vengeance belongeth unto him. Where was I? Verse 10. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He saith, he shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is a God that judgeth in the earth. This is what the righteous are saying. And God's going to wash his feet in the blood of the wicked in his vengeance. The righteous are going to laugh. They're going to rejoice at it. That's why I think that and believe wholeheartedly that at the great white throne judgment, all the saved are going to be there, gathered around the throne. Jesus is pronouncing judgment upon those that have died without him, upon the wicked that have died without Christ, and casting them into the lake of fire. And we're going to laugh and rejoice in it because God has gotten vengeance on the wicked. They've been against him, and being against him, they've been against us. You see, but there's a day coming. There's a day coming when they will get their just due. And Scripture tells us that God shall laugh. I hear people say all the time, and quite probable, they say, think that God has humor. Yeah, well, he's going to laugh, so to speak, and I don't think it's a laugh like our laugh. The Scripture talks about him laughing. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 37. And this is concerning some of these false prophets that we've been talking about in this 13th chapter of Ezekiel. But Jeremiah chapter 37, and look with me at verse 19. When he speaks and he says, Where are now your prophets which prophesied unto you, saying, the king of Babylon shall not come against you nor against this land? You see, God's laughing at them. They prophesied that the king of Babylon wouldn't come against them nor against this land. But now God brought it to pass, and now he's laughing at them. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 32. Let's begin reading with verse 30, just so you can get the gist here of what's going on. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. So he's talking about the wicked people here, the wicked people of Israel here. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asp. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance, and I and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted? That's when they go off into idolatry. As he said would happen if they didn't utterly drive out the inhabitants of the land. He said they would marry them, their sons and their daughters would marry people of the land, and they would entice them into idolatry. And God's going to laugh at him. He's going to say, where are your gods now? And the rock that you trusted in. Turn with me to the book of Judges. The book of the Judges. Chapter 10. Look at verse 10. And this is when the Philistines and the children of Ammon, God gave them over to them because of their idolatry, because of their wickedness. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and also served Balaam. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines, the Zidonians also, and the Amalekites and the Maonites did oppress you, and ye cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods, wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. You hear God laughing at them? Saying this to them? Now, the children of Israel were in dire straits, and they didn't want God forsaking them. And after God spoke, they went back to their places, and they got rid of it. They got rid of all their false gods, their idols, and whom they worshipped. And it ends up God delivers them. But you see, God was laughing at them in their time of calamity. When their time of calamity came and they were crying out to him, and he said, you trusted in your gods. Let them deliver you. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs. And we'll, when we get into the next chapter, we'll be looking more at idolatry. Particularly, the next chapter is dealing with idolatry of the heart. And we see that it is even prevalent in our day and time. We think of as bowing down to an image. But as we've said before, we're going to find out that it's not just bowing down to an image. It's anything that we put before God. And we put ourselves before God. We put other people before God. We put our desires and our wants before God. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 26, we read this. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. He's going to laugh and mock him in their time of calamity. That's when the wicked, even those of us who are righteous by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we go off into sin, he's going to laugh at it when our calamity comes. He's going to mock us until we really and seriously fall down on our face and cry out to him, just as Israel did back in the book of Judges in chapter 10. And then he'll deliver us from that time of calamity. Then a passage I believe we just read Sunday, Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2. Only we looked at the latter portion of the chapter. We want to look at verses 4 and 5 tonight. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Chapter 2 of Psalms, if I didn't say chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Psalms, verse 4 and 5. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Well, who's that talking about? Who is it that sits in the heavens? It's God that sits in the heavens. He shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. You see, the Lord shall laugh. Men shall laugh when God's judgment falls upon the wicked. When God's judgment falls upon liars and deceivers. When God's judgment falls upon the false prophets. Men shall laugh, particularly the righteous. Shall laugh, not a laugh of laughter as we think of it, as funny, ha ha. But they've mocked God, they've mocked the Lord Jesus Christ, they've laughed at him. They laugh at us, they mock us, and the day is coming when they shall face the judgment of God. And it will be our turn. We will see God's justice being rendered. God shall laugh. And I think we'll definitely be laughing with him then, the day of his mocking, when he shall have them in derision. Now the next verses 13 through 15, and let's read them back in our text, Ezekiel chapter 13. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend with a stormy wind in my fury, and these shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury, to consume it. So will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. And you remember who it was that we said daubed it last week. One started the process and of daubing, and the others joined in with him in daubing the wall. These false prophets, that's what they are, will face the storm, and they will be consumed, as our verse says. The people, in chapter 12, God's judgment was upon the people, the ones who had followed those false prophets, the ones who had urged the false prophets to prophesy falsely, had built a life of idolatry. And the false prophets had spread it over with whitewash, with daubing. False promises, flattering prophecies. And they, as well as the people, would be destroyed. He would break down the wall. He would destroy the false prophets. He would make sure that they know that He and He alone is Jehovah. That's what it says there in verse 14. That He and He alone is the Lord, Jehovah, the true and the living God. Look at that. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, all caps, denoting that it is Jehovah, the I Am, the great I Am, the existing one, the ever existing one, the creator of all heaven and earth and all that in them is, the one who is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, the one who is a God of love, the one who is a God of long-suffering and mercy, the one who is a God of wrath, as well as a God of love. They're going to know that He is the Lord. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 10. O Assyrian, in verse 5. Chapter 10, Isaiah, in verse 5. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. You see, the Assyrian army, the Assyrians, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, Assyrians, they're an instrument in God's hand. And if you continue to read down here, you see that they're an instrument in God's hand to the destruction of Jerusalem and Judea for their sin, for their idolatry. God brings the Assyrian upon them. But then He turns around and he judges the Assyrian. He's going to destroy that Assyrian king because of the pride of his heart. Lifted up with pride, thinking he was something. He was the instrument in God's hand. He just did what God allowed him to do. Oh, he was carrying out the evil and wicked intents and desires of his heart to capture and to get as many lands under his crown as he could. And Jerusalem and Judea were just the next on the list, so to speak. God allowed it. He allowed it to bring judgment upon his people that had forsaken him. But then, once these verses tell us, once the Lord's purpose is complete, is full, then he's going to turn his wrath upon the king of Assyria for the pride of his heart. And see, God is sovereign. And he does as he pleases, as Nebuchadnezzar found out. And the armies of heaven and the armies of earth. Well, we're gonna stop there tonight. And we'll continue on next week with this thought. We only got two more sub-points left under this point, but they're going to be a little longer. So we'll just stop there tonight and take up there next week. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation through him. We're thankful, dear Heavenly Father, that you have worked upon me, that you have worked upon these that are present. We know that you are the sovereign God. And we know that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die so that we who are sinners might have everlasting life. We pray to Heavenly Father that as we been reading and studying in the book of Ezekiel, and especially concerning these false prophets, we know that false prophets abound in our day and time. Help us to be on guard. Help us to beware. Because Satan, our adversary, is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Help us to be immersed in your word. Help us to be immersed with the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Okay, we have Brother Frank James' newsletter tonight. You can count on Brother Jim. The first day of the month, there it is in the email. It's there. Sometimes it's the last day of the month. So you can count on him being prompt with the newsletter. August. Dear brethren, I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Psalms 52:9. Greetings in the precious name of Jesus Christ the Lord. We pray that each one is doing well. Our services were hindered for a couple of Lord's days due to wildflower show that is held each year in Malwa. The Shire Council called to inform me that the community hall would be needed for preparations as well as for the event itself. Though this was unexpected, We are thankful to be able to use the hall once again. In the meantime, I was able to prepare another gospel bulletin and have distributed it in the community, for which we thank the Lord. Our prayer is that the name of the Lord will continue to be glorified and magnified through the proclamation of the gospel to people wherever he leads. Our sincere thanks once again for your continued love, encouragement, prayers, and support for the Lord's work in Australia and Papua New Guinea. Love in Christ, Frank James. And I was just thinking as I was reading that, well, couldn't have Lord's Day services in the community hall where he normally does because of that. But if it's anything like the gatherings around here, special events, there's a lot of people there, and he prepared the gospel bulletin and distributed it out. A lot of people probably came into the city for that wildflower event and was able to reach many people and not travel as far to do it. News from the home front. It says communities. There is a restaurant that we get takeaway food from, and the second Frank calls in and says, hello, the waiter says, hi Frank, do you want the usual? I like that personal touch. We think it's his USA accent, but aren't sure. The population of Harrelton and its surrounding suburbs and small towns are over 40,000. Also, while running errands, we have come across a lady, phlebotomist, and she will ask me when I'm coming in next. She loves to tell me about her studies and where she has worked. She has lived an interesting life and migrated here about a decade ago. Since we are from another country, she likes to ask us questions as well. Though the biggest surprise was being remembered by the owners of the shoe store. It has been 3 years since we went there. Maybe it helped that Frank was wearing the same tennis shoes that he bought those 3 years ago. The owners are from Italy and told us that they have been living in Geraldton for over 50 years. We enjoy meeting people, and they almost always ask why we are in Geraldton, and that gives Frank an opportunity to talk about the mission work. As I've mentioned before, in our case, being different has given opportunities to share the gospel. Amen. A friend in Christ, Sid James. Shall we pray? Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for Brother and Sister James, and as we think of them tonight, Lord, we pray for their health. We just pray that you would bless, that they might continue to be able to be on the mission field, and that you'd give them good health, especially Sister Sid. And then we pray, dear Heavenly Father, as they labor there for you and getting the gospel out, we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you might be pleased to save the lost, save your sheep, add them to your assembly. May we see a New Testament Baptist church started in that area of Australia. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Okay, in the way of prayer requests tonight, of course, we want to continue to pray for one another, and as we said at the beginning, we're glad that Brother Doug's able to be back with us tonight, and kind of weak and puny, but pray that the Lord will continue to bless him with strength. Remember his wife, the text that was sent out today sounded a little better, at least on the part that they're not having to give her as much oxygen, and below 50% now, and that's certainly good news on that regard. But also, Sister Kathy mentioned that Jenny Taylor is now on a ventilator. Remember, we've asked you to be praying for Jerry and Jenny Taylor, and Jenny, the wife, is now on a ventilator and not doing very well, so we definitely want to remember the Taylors in prayer, and then Joe Rohrbacher as well. Remember these. Then continue to remember Brother Eddie Bowen, Brother Artis France, Hilva Bourne, Ursula Draper, Ramona King, her vision, eye vision, Jason DeJarnett, Michael Day, Pat Diener, Becky Ray, and then, of course, remember our country, law enforcement, the lost. And we have on here the lost loved ones. That's where it begins. That's where it begins. Those of our own family that don't know Jesus Christ. If we have not a burden, if we have not a passion, a zeal to see them saved, are we going to have one for people we don't know then? If we don't have a zeal for our own family members? So remember to be in prayer for the lost, and especially those of your own family. Remember our missionaries, the church in Romania, and Brother Raul and Sister Miriam Entity, Rel Maclea, Rel Montano. Remember those individuals and others. Can't remember all their names, but just pray for the church there as they labor for the Lord. Brother Frank and Sister Sid James, Grace Baptist Church Printing Ministry, Bert Kraft and family in Mexico, Darren Brenda Titus in Mayfield, Kentucky, and Ted and Sylvia Tweed in Headland, Alabama. All right, Brother Mike, you want to dismiss us in prayer, brother?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us into thy house tonight to hear your word. We come to you in prayer. Lift up these ones tonight, Lord, before you that are on our prayer list. There are many that we have. We pray that you would touch each and every one of them, Lord, and give each grace and mercy according to thy will. We thank you, Lord, for our pastor and his wife.